If you have your Bible this morning, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be coming to the Lord's table today, and several passages I want to read and for you to just contemplate some things as we come to His table today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, beginning verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Lord, I ask You that You will bring all of this to our minds and hearts today. Lord, as we stand here before You, Lord, You know our every thought. You know everything about us. Lord, as we open ourselves to You today and come in agreement with that fact, with that truth, Lord, I ask You to prepare us as we come to Your table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, these verses will go on as Paul would give instruction about communion, about coming to the Lord's table. I want to read these instructions to you and then put it in context for you and then make a few comments about communion, about what it is for us. Verse 25, "In the same way He took the cup after supper, saying," it's the third cup of the evening, cup of redemption, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and so doing he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number have died. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. When we're judged, we're disciplined by the Lord so that we'll not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home so you will not come together for judgment. Remaining matters I will arrange when I come." And when Jesus instituted that first, we call it the Lord's Supper, that first communion, He was fulfilling what His Jewish ancestors before Him had been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years. It was a Seder meal that they would commemorate Passover. You know, those three spring feasts that are bang, 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 right there together. And in His death, burial, and resurrection, we see that He fulfilled those three. Then the coming of the Holy Spirit fulfills the fourth feast of the year. And right now, there are three other biblical feasts. There are fall feasts of the Jews that are yet to be fulfilled. And in fact, we've come through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and now Sukkot, which is Feast of Tabernacles. That will begin, depending on which calendar you use and whether you're part of the outside or inside of Israel, will begin on October the 1st, which begins at sundown today, a week long feast. And by the way, a little footnote here, we see that Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, which is the last one, will actually be fulfilled in the millennium. As we see as the coming of that, as God will truly tabernacle with His people. All those pictures, all those things, you say, oh, Dusty, that's just a bunch of old stuff. But see, God doesn't stutter in the Scripture. He doesn't put that stuff in there to confuse you. It's very simple. It's a fulfillment of all that He's going to do. He doesn't say anything, promise anything that He doesn't intend on fulfilling. We see that as He fulfilled the Passover feast in the Seder meal, as He would come and become our Paschal Lamb, our Passover, when He came the first time. So as He gathered that first time, and He showed to His disciples that, yes, indeed, I am, my broken body and my poured out blood, I'm the fulfillment of this. You know, the scribes and Pharisees were not angry with Jesus because they misunderstood what He was saying. They were angry with Him because they understood exactly what He was saying and the truth of it. Now, put it in context for you. Paul was given some, this later on as he was writing to the Corinthian church. Corinthian church, if you want to find out anything that was a problem in the church in the first century, go to the book of Corinth, the book of Corinthians, to the city of Corinth. There, all sorts of things were problematic. As Paul would write these things, and apparently they had even had a problem with communion. They had a problem with the people who were getting there early and making it a time just to fill their belly, and it not being a commemoration, it not being all that the Lord had intended for it to be. He said, and we see it emblazoned there, "This do in remembrance of me." This do in remembrance of me. A simple question. What do you need to remember about Jesus today? He died in your place on the cross. It should have been you and me. He died there alone. He would speak it out. My God, why have you forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. What do we need to remember about Jesus? He lived a perfect life. We see it, it took a perfect lamb. As they were, the whole sacrificial system that we see of the Old Testament was just a mapping out, a picturing, a rehearsal, if you will, of what would come as Jesus would fulfill all of it. As He would tie it all up together, as He would bring it together. I've given this illustration before, but it's a great picture for me. We used to shrimp a lot. And have you ever seen a cast net, monofilament cast net? It's this big circle. The one I have right now has a radius of 6 feet. So it stretches out 12 feet. And around the edge are weights. And you throw that thing out there, and ideally what you want to see is you want to see that thing just hover out there and it become this huge disc and then drop into the water. The weights take it down. You have this one line in your hand. One line in your hand. It's looped around your wrist. And as soon as that thing drops, you pull. And what happens to all the weights that have gone down to the bottom? It draws them all together. And whatever is in there is trapped. You see, when you look at who Jesus is, He is the centerpiece of history. He's the center of this supper that we're going to commemorate today. He puts it all together. Questions yet out there? Well, he just hasn't completed pulling on the line yet. But we live in a time right now when we're seeing him tug on that line. And we're seeing history fulfilled before our very eyes. And I say history, I say it as his story. That's what his story is. It's all about him. And you say, it being fulfilled, I thought history is yet past. Yeah, but to Jesus, what's the past? What's present? What's future? He sees it all together because time is his creation. And he is drawing it together, everything together. And at last, it'll come together and you'll see the truth of his presence trapped right there for all to see. What do we need to remember about Jesus? He died for the sins of the entire world. That means he died for my sin on that cross. You a sinner? Have you sinned? You think of all the psychological problems that are out there that are there because people are trying to skate when it comes on taking responsibility. Well, they're doing wrong. What's wrong in their lives? They know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Those things. That conviction. It's interesting when you watch interviews with people that are defying the truth of God. We know about this because we've done it ourselves. We have a PhD in this. But to watch these people, to watch someone else there on live TV for millions and millions of people to see, for them to defy the truth of God and make excuses for it, and you know what's going through their mind right there. They know they're guilty as the day is long. It's like we know. There's that conviction of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You don't have to have someone else bringing that to you. God brings that conviction of wrong in your life. You know, something's missing in your life. Look at all the ways mankind is trying to fulfill the empty spaces in their lives. Look what we've done. Just look in my life. The place I tried to fill that hole. And only God could do that. What do we need to remember about Jesus? They loved us enough to die for us on the cross. He loves you no matter what you've done. He never throws you down. For if that were what he was interested in, he'd just let us sin and then go to hell. But he didn't. He launched the greatest rescue mission in history. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What do we need to remember about Jesus? He was all God and all man at the same time. What does that mean? That means that you can never tell Jesus you don't understand Jesus what I'm going through. Because he does. He lived and walked in the same manure pile that you walked through. I know a number of us want to act like, well, we didn't get any on us, but hey, come on. He's all man. But he's all God, too. That means he could do something about it, which he did. When he came, became the perfect Lamb of God, he became our sacrifice. You know, we play all these head games trying to hide from people who we are and what we've done. Jesus knows everything about you and about me, and he still loves you. How about that? What we need to remember about Jesus? that He's the justifier. He makes it right. He puts things back together. What was broken, He restores. What we need to remember about Jesus, He's the reconciler. He makes things right between us and the Father. He is the connection. He makes things right between us and other people. When Jesus comes into your life and you're saying, but you know, that person that's out there that's done great evil to me, they're never going to come and ask my forgiveness. Maybe not. But you can forgive them and therefore cut off the chains that they have around your ankle that keep dragging you down with the past. Well, you can be delivered and be free. What we need to remember about Jesus, He's the Savior. Without Him, I am lost forever. Our culture doesn't like to hear absolutes. Our culture likes to hear, well, man can do anything. When what is the truth? Without God, man can do nothing. What did we see early in Luke? As it said, with God, all things are possible. What we need to remember about Jesus as we come to His table, He is the healer. He'll heal our bodies. He'll heal our souls. He'll heal our emotions. Now, the Scripture says, let a man examine himself. As you come to the table, this command to examine yourself does not return us to the law. Because you see, what that command shows, let a man examine himself, shows how well have you received the grace of God? How well have you accepted the grace of God? It's not up to your power for you to fulfill His commandments in your life. It is up to you to receive what God wants to do through you, and then the works will flow forth from your life. See, we get it backwards. We want to earn God's favor. No, you can never earn His favor. His favor is given freely by His grace and mercy in our lives. Let a man examine himself. Let's look at the facts of our lives. Where do we stand in our relationship to Jesus today? You see, when we come to the Lord's table, it's a good checkup time. You and God. Nothing in between. Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let's reason together. Saith the Lord. Let's reason. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. As we take a good look at our lives, where are you with the Lord? See, He's offering all this. All that He wants to do, all that He wants to be in your life and in daily relationship with Him. Let a man examine himself. You see, no one else can look at the motivation of your heart. Man only sees the outside, the action. But God knows why you do what you do. And he's looking on the heart. What is your motivation today? Let a man examine himself. It's about being honest. Honest with God. Honest with yourself. You see, as we come to the Lord's table today, it's not about a ritual. For if it were about that, all those soldiers that Constantine had baptized down in the river would have become Christians instantly. All they got is a different religion and a little wet. Not a relationship with the Lord. See, it's always been about relationship. And yes, we'll perform a ritual, but the ritual only has a meaning if it's based in a relationship with a living God who is here. He is here and He is not silent, the great Christian philosopher said. He's speaking. What is He speaking to you as you come to His table about your life? He wants to bless you, not curse you. Have you attributed to Him a motivation that He's some killjoy? That He wants to stomp on everything in your life where you have fun? No! He wants the joy of the Lord to be upon your life. He wants you to experience His fullness in everything. He wants to release you today from being victimized by the circumstances of life. And boy, there are plenty of circumstances out there today. Can I get a witness on that? Any circumstances? But who's Lord over the circumstances? We're going to open the altar before we come to the table. Not going to have any pastors or other people standing up here. If you want to come to the altar, do some business with the Lord. You got to talk to one of us. We'll kind of stand over here to the side, but this is you and the Lord. Come. What is the Lord putting on your heart before you come to His table today? Let's get it right. Is there forgiveness you need to grant? You say, well, they're not here. Well, you can go ahead and forgive them and then take care of that later when you actually see them. Again, God's looking on the heart. What's holding you back? Why not be renewed? Why not have a revival today? The altar's open. Thank you. And just pouring over them. I don't know about you, but Lord is renewing His Word to me. Things are popping out from His Word today in my heart. Things I'm seeing that I've read for years. Since I was a little boy, and my earliest recollections, my mother and my grandmother's reading the Word to me. But those words, on the night in which He was betrayed, in the middle of all the junk, even betrayal, Scripture says, He took bread and He broke it, and He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Thanks be to God." And after supper, the third cup of the evening, the cup of redemption, of which He would fulfill in just a few hours from that time. The cup of redemption. This is the blood of the new covenant through the Lord Jesus. Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Thank you, Lord, for Your poured out blood. Our communion is open to all who claim the name of Jesus. We invite you to His table to come and partake today, enjoy His presence, to commune with Him. He is here and He is not silent. Our method that we use today is what we call intinction. We'll break off a piece of the bread and just put your hands out like this so we can put the bread in your hand. And we'll say something like, "This is the body of Jesus broken for you." And then you'll come in front of the one holding the wine, and you'll dip that bread into the wine, and the words will be spoken, and the blood of Jesus poured out for you. We want to invite our musicians to come first, and then you just come. If you need to spend some time at the altar, around, go grab someone to pray, He's here. He's answering prayer. He's already answered many prayers this morning. Why not ask today? Why not claim in boldness? Come to the table. Mikey, body of Jesus working for you.
I have brought to you a contrite heart. I do not want my sins to separate me from you. So I kneel at the cross where your blood was shed, to let it wash all over me. Let it wash, Let it wash. Let it wash my sins away. Just one drop. One precious drop will wash my sins away. Oh, let it wash. Let it wash. Let it wash my sins away. Just one drop, one precious drop will wash my sins away. I have brought to you a broken heart. I do not want my ways to separate me from you. So I kneel at the cross where your blood was shed to let it wash all over me. Let it wash. Let it wash. Let it wash my sins away. Just one drop, one precious drop will wash my sins away. Lord, let it wash. Let it wash. Let it wash my sins away. Just one drop, one precious drop. Precious drop will wash my sins away. I have brought to you a broken heart. I do not want my ways to separate me from you. So I kneel at the cross where love was shed. Let it wash. Let it wash my sins away. Just one drop, one precious drop will wash my sins away. Sing that with us. Oh, let it wash. Let it wash my sins away. Just one drop, one precious drop will wash my sins away. Just one drop, just one drop, one precious drop
God did something here in communion today that He's, I don't know that He's done here before. I don't know what it is. But I felt His moving in a powerful way today. I sure would like to know if the Lord, if it was the answer to a prayer or the power of His presence, or if you finally got it today. Well, I'm still getting it. I'm a work in progress. Boy, what power here today. I thank You. Would You join me in this prayer right now? Honor and glory are only to You, Lord. Lord, today, Lord, it's just like when You walked on the earth and You felt the healing go out of You, that healing virtue. Lord, You let me feel it today. You let me feel that. Something that, Lord, that we tapped on to You today. We celebrate that today, Lord. We give You all the honor and glory. There is no other in the earth. Praise be to the name of the Lord. And Lord, as You have us gathered here now, I pray that You will scatter us in power. Lord, that we'll go out with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. I'm praying, Lord, You'll stir up the gifts in us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we would be the gift to the world today that You have called us to be. That Savannah would celebrate the presence of Jesus. Lord, I'm praying that You would have an open heaven over Savannah. Lord, that the glory of the Lord would come in this city. I'm praying for that. I'm praying for salvation of many, Lord, today. Many in this city that have never claimed the name. And Lord, for the power of Your Holy Spirit to reconcile people together. God, I'm praying that You're going to heal the racial tension in this city. That You'll bring the body of Jesus together. I'm praying, Lord, that You'll knock down the crime that exists. And Lord, all the little children that suffer every week because the big people are being stupid. Lord, I'm praying You're going to knock it down. And Your glory and Your love will flow through this city, Lord. Lord, that we'd be skating on the streets because of the anointing that comes on this city. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. We bless Your name today. We receive Your love. And it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The tradition goes, they sang a hymn and departed. So, Maestro, you got something?
Why, yes, we do.
All right, let's stand.
because you